the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 192 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Sheck. Yeah, hard to feel too enthusiastic as somebody who hails from the banks of the Three Rivers, at least where football is concerned. Baseball, another matter entirely. And like I started last week, I think I need to start chanting, Clowny, Clowny. You know, look ahead, you know. Hopefully there's a silver lining to what is shaping up to be a lost season. All right, it's not about the Steelers. Let's talk about the teams that are actually good or compelling and how bad they are. I guess we can count the Steelers in the latter category there along with the Giants and some other teams. Let's do it with our pal from NFL.com and also NFL Fantasy Live. You see him all the time. All over the place. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey,
sorry about the Bears and your first loss since you took them under your wing as a fan.
Football's not as fun anymore.
No, indeed.
I thought I had struck gold and that we were going to win all 16, go on and win the Super Bowl.
It's we already.
I didn't. Listen, you know what the coolest thing is? I finally did get a Bears hat. So, and it would have been awkward if I would have picked any other team to support. Let's say I would have picked the Eagles or the Chiefs or some of the other teams that were in the running. And people would be like, are you from Kansas City? You'd have been like, no, it's the, you know, you'd have to go into a huge explanation. Well, now people are like, oh, are you from Chicago? And I could be like, yeah, I was born there.
Oh, perfect.
It's a smooth transition, and it's like people just don't even question it.
Good enough. Good enough.
So
all right. So sitting across from Rank and me here in Studio 66, here he is, everybody. One of our very favorite guests since the moment we met him about, what, a year and a half or so ago. Mm-hmm. You know him from his Twitter name, at Move the Sticks. You know it because CNNSI just named him one of the 100 essential follows for sports fans or football fans. Either way, who cares? It's Daniel Jeremiah. What's the poop with you, fella?
Well, I appreciate the kind words, Dave,
sure.
But I will say, you know, having been in studio for the first time in a while now, it's a little toasty in here. I think maybe Rank was doing some Bikram yoga before the start of the podcast. He's in fantastic shape.
He is.
So I'm thinking, you know, the heat, he's in great shape. A little yoga.
Since the last time you were in here, Adam Rank has lost nothing less than 132 pounds. It's a great story. It's a great story. And, you know, I'm going to forgive your prima donna ways complaining right out of the gate about the temperature in here. I'm sorry, Your Highness.
It's cooling off quickly, though.
Right.
Thanks, TD.
Let's keep it.
Whoa. He didn't do anything. He doesn't control
anybody. He gives the eye, though. I don't even have to look at him. I just know that he knows a guest is not happy. The eye comes through the glass, and all of a sudden it magically gets cooler in here.
DJ Rank, we have much to discuss. We are at the quarter pole, or at least most teams in the NFL are now at the quarter pole. Here's the thing that jumps out to me, and I hate to start here because I prefaced before we got into anything else, I mentioned the Steelers. But what's intriguing to me is that the Giants and Steelers are just now abject bad teams. Mm-hmm. You know, they're lousy. And yet both of them realistically can win their divisions. It seems to me that there are a lot more bad teams than there are good teams right now. I mean, really, the Seahawks look legit, obviously, at 4-0. You got the Broncos on the other side. Everybody else just seems to have some legitimate flaws. DJ, talk about, I guess let's start in that AFC North because you worked with the Ravens as well. They're not any great shakes, led by the $100 million man Joe Flacco. Did they give him too much money at the expense of then being able to afford other players to surround him with some weapons?
Well, you look, he got a lot of money because he had him in a bad spot. They had no choice but to pay him. He gambled on himself, and it paid off with the Super Bowl win. I mean, you kind of have to just take it from if you're from the Ravens in that situation. You got to pay him whatever he wants, and they did. Now, I think that the decision to let Anquan Boldin go is the one iffy move here by Ozzie Newsome, and he's stated, look, it allowed him to rebuild that defense, and the defense has played better since the Peyton Manning debacle. But when you look at just that security blanket for a young quarterback to remove him from that offense, I think it's glaring. But then this last game, though, guys, to me, we talk about Joe Flacco and the five interceptions, but, I mean, I can't remember a game where there's more imbalance for an offense. I mean,
you look that at, was crazy.
It's bizarre. Now, look at, I'm just looking at the numbers right here. So let's just compare the Ravens with the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills ran the ball 55 times. Mm-hmm. The Baltimore Ravens ran the ball 9 times. When was the last time you saw a game where you had that much disparity?
I remember.
The Arena League. So.
Yeah, Oklahoma. Yeah, right. Arena League football where they throw it that much, and then Oklahoma in the 80s and Nebraska in the 80s would throw the ball about 4 times. Literally, I remember the stat lines from those games. But yeah, that sort of imbalance
and they
in
have,
the NFL
and they
is
have a, they, you know, they've had a really good offensive line, played well together at the end of the year last year. They ran the ball. They've got 2 backs. So, you know, you've got some injuries.
So why'd that happen?
It was bizarre. It was bizarre. You throw 5 interceptions. You have 9 carries. It was a weird, weird game to watch. I mean, it just seemed like they came out convinced that they had to throw the football.
Was John Harbaugh just bored? He's like, nah, we're playing Buffalo. We're
the
champs. Yeah,
I mean, the Buffalo has some injuries in the secondary, right. So I get maybe trying to attack that. But after a while, Joe Flacco is all the best thing he does, go off play action and push the ball vertically down the field. Play action's worthless if you can't run the ball, and they're not even trying to run the ball. So it was really a bizarre game to watch.
Who's in? All right, the Steelers are at 0-4 in the most trouble. But you go, let's start with who's going to win that division.
I said the Baltimore Ravens before the season started. Which quarterback are you buying into in this division? I mean, normally that's
Brian
kind of the way
Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer, hey, undefeated, right? I mean, it's not the craziest thing that happened that the Browns would be in the mix. They played the Ravens tough a couple weeks ago.
Is this a flash in the pan? Obviously, he's been through some successful organizations. No one drafted him coming out of Michigan State. He's been with the Patriots. He's been with the Steelers. Did he learn something from being around quality organizations that make him better? Or did the scouting community collectively miss on this? Or in 2 or 3 weeks will we be saying, yeah, remember when Brian Hoyer won 2 games in a row? That was funny, but I mean, obviously he came back to earth.
No, I think that's a combination of all those things, especially the way he's played in these 2 games. You'd have to say he's obviously worthy of a draft pick. I mean, so that was a miss from an evaluation standpoint. You have to admit to that. But I do think you can be around some guys that are really good at their profession and sit and learn from them and help improve yourself, and I think he's done that. And he's around – I mean, North Turner, guys, has done a good job with quarterbacks in the past. Now, it did not end well in San Diego, but he's been around a lot of guys. He puts them in a situation where they can be successful, and I think that's what he's done with Brian Hoyer. As much as North Turner got criticism towards the end of his time in San Diego, I think you have to give him a little bit of credit for the play of Brian Hoyer this year.
North Turner as an offensive coordinator, nobody would ever knock him. It's as a head coach.
No, that's a different deal.
See, and he's in his element, like where he can succeed. And then Ray Horton, too, coming over from Arizona, led a great defense, and now he's in. You look at this team, and I don't want to compare.
Well, they're loaded on defense.
They are nasty on defense.
Yeah,
this
isn't 2020 hindsight. Yeah. I know I was talking about it. I feel like we talked about this, that defense was definitely going to be good. It was just a question if the offense could go.
Yeah, and it just seems like Hoyer just has to be good enough for that situation.
In this bum division? I mean, listen, can the Browns win the division?
Why not? Why not? I mean, when you look around, who scares you? I mean, Cincinnati, talent-wise, you love what they have, except the quarterback position. You just don't know what's going on there.
Andy Dalton is the classic, and I those divisions are a little too simplistic as far as I'm concerned. When one guy, he's either a gunslinger or he's a game manager. But all right, whatever, however you want to describe him, he's a guy, obviously, has been around, played big games at TCU, and has been successful, relatively speaking, for a young guy in the NFL. Year 3, surrounded by, legitimately, this side of Denver, as many offensive weapons, difference makers, playmaker type of guys. What's going on? Is he just not good? Would you close the book on him if you were in the Bengals? Are they whispering? Do you imagine now, knowing what you know as a former personnel guy, are the Bengals secretly saying to one another, uh-oh, we're in trouble with our QB?
Well, I think they're probably still cautiously optimistic that they're going to see improvement from him in the way that Drew Brees improved into his, third or fourth year in San Diego, where we saw him make that massive jump. So I'm sure there's a group inside the personnel department that still believes that he can become a top-shelf quarterback. But I guarantee you there's a couple voices inside that room that say, hey, guys, this is shaping up to be a pretty deep quarterback draft next year. Maybe we don't use one, you know, with our first round pick, but I would be surprised if they didn't try and bring something into the quarterback position in the offseason.
Two questions. Reckless, you know, sort of speculation or whatever you want to call it. This I wrote a piece on NFL.com/Sheck. Again, I will remind you. I floated out eight or so trades. We were talking, DJ, last Thursday night about this, about fun trades. Why don't we see more trades in the NFL? Rank and I went crazy when Richardson got dealt because it's fun. You never see in-season trades. I say, what if the Bengals had been 1-2 instead of 2-1? Well, now they're 2-2 after a disappointing loss to the in-state foes. So now they're 2-2. Is it crazy to say we should look into Josh Freeman, what it's going to cost us to get a guy whose primary skill is pushing the ball down the field to all that speed that they have on, I mean, not just at the wide receivers, but Gresham and Eifert both can get downfield as well. That's the one thing that they need to have in a QB, yes or no?
Well, it's an interesting point. If only we could have seen Freeman in an offense where he had big, talented weapons on the out. Oh, wait. Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams and look terrible. So, look, I don't think there's too many people that are buying Josh Freeman stock at this point in time. Andy Dalton can be frustrating. You wish he'd make be more consistent with his accuracy and maybe be able to push the ball a little bit more vertically down the field. But Josh Freeman, no. I stick with Andy Dalton and hope that we see a little bit more from him.
Well, we at one point look back at the St. Louis Football Club sticking with Sam Bradford, not going with RG3. And I know RG3's been a little slow because of the knee injury. But to me, that seems to be one where Bradford seems to get off the hook on that, where people aren't – if I was a fan of St. Louis, which I'm thankfully not, I would be going crazy about that.
We'll see where RG3's career takes him, and we'll see what they do with next year's top pick. You know, they're going to have another pick from that trade from Washington in the upcoming draft, and they'll see the Redskins. That might end up being a top 10 pick. The Rams could have two top 10 picks next year. So you got to see what all they are able to accumulate for RG3. And to me, this year, if Sam Bradford does not show improvement from what we've seen early in the season, I'd be surprised if they didn't necessarily make a move in that direction to bring in another quarterback.
But Brian Schottenheimer, I mean, he's basically turned Bradford into Mark Sanchez.
By the way, Schottenheimer, I've heard more Brian Schottenheimer questions this week than I have probably in the last 10 years.
This is what we do. It's me and DJ sitting out there with Elliot Harrison and Bucky Brooks on Thursday night on the NFL.com companion piece to Thursday Night Football. Make sure you go get online. And it's like watching a game with some chums, you know? That's basically what we're doing. And that's what we were talking about. Brian Schottenheimer is a bad offensive coordinator, and it actually sort of – let's combine the two things and go back to the Bengals then. Jay Gruden – and Brian Schottenheimer, is it possible in the NFL, as serious as everybody takes it, everybody is, hey, this is a business, and there's a, you know, Damashek, you crack wise too often. This is football, you understand. This is work. Hey, it seems to me like nepotism is the only reason those two guys would have a job. True or false?
Well, who just got fired as USC's head coach?
Lane Kiffin.
Well, because he fired his old man.
I know, but do you think Lane Kiffin would have got the head job at University of Tennessee if it wasn't for his dad?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were saying he wouldn't have gotten fired.
Nepotism in sports, that goes way back. I mean, I don't think that's a surprise. I think it definitely is going to help your cause.
At this level?
In the NFL,
people are like, well,
this is
he's
the
not the greatest,
this
but his old
thing.
Man's a cool guy.
This is
so.
The thing, though. It might not necessarily help you get that coordinator's job. I think at some, you know, at that time, a lot of time you'll see a guy off of his own merits. What it does do is it gets you that first job in the league, you know, gets you that quality control job, gets you a, you know, position coach job because of who your father is. And I say that, I got lucky in broadcasting because my dad was friends with Chris Mortensen, and Chris Mortensen introduced me to some people and helped get me started on my path. So I wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for my last name either. So I just saying that you do get opportunities in athletics like you would in any other profession if your father's been successful. I don't know that it gets you that top job or even a coordinator's job, but getting your foot in the door over somebody else that might be more qualified, absolutely.
I think he's pumping us up because Rankin Damashek, there's no nepotism there.
No, indeed.
You guys are all natural.
DJ and I, but once I crossed paths with DJ, it would have been cronyism. I would have identified you as a diamond in the rough and pulled you up to our ranks, and you would have been here in Studio 66.
Sweating my butt off.
That's
right
exactly
here.
Right. You You've since transcended us and left us in the dust. But, you know, the other thing I want to talk about, apropos of really not much we're discussing, but another thing I sort of threw at you, again, in the name of reckless speculation, is it's funny to me that in the NFL that because it seems to me that this is how I would operate if I were in charge of personnel for a team. I would want guys who played in the SEC or Pac-12 mm-hmm. or Big 12. I mean, or in Big 10. You know, I would want those. I'm a snob and when it comes to talent evaluation. And that's how I would do it. I'd be like, yeah, why he went to blah, blah, AT&M. Like, yeah, he's obviously not good or else he would have been recruited. That does happen in the NFL?
Oh, absolutely. And different organizations treat it differently. Some organizations like trying to find those diamond in the roughs, like Jacksonville. For a long period of time, they just collected small school player after small school player, and they hit on some of them, missed on others.
Shorts.
Exactly. They, I mean, they have a ton of them. I mean, you go through the roster. Every year they were taking some of Winston-Salem State, you know, William and Mary, on and on and on.
Yeah, but then they got kicked out of the NFL, I think, a couple years ago. Yeah. So I'm not sure where they are now.
And, well, then that regime's changed over because mm-hmm. it didn't work out so well. But in Baltimore with Ozzie Newsome, he was big on big school guys, especially for your early picks. I can remember players that we really liked, some big-name guys, DeMarcus Ware. You're talking about Roddy White, some really, really good players. Hmm. But the discussion came up. Ozzie's, he's an Alabama guy. And why aren't these guys playing at Alabama? Now, it was tongue-in-cheek.
But I buy it.
Yeah, but we'd have that conversation.
If you're Ozzie Newsome and you're some blue-chip kid back in probably the late 60s when you're coming out of high school, if you're Ozzie Newsome, his experience was, if I don't get recruited by Bama at the very worst, I'm going to go to Auburn. And if you slip through those cracks, then you just must not be worth anything. I buy that. But obviously not, based on what DJ's saying.
I dig that. I wish more teams would do that because I think of Arizona passing on Terrell Suggs. Like, mm-hmm. huge mistake. Like, a guy's – because they did so – like, they took Pat Tillman and Jake Plummer from ASU, and then Terrell Suggs comes along. They're like, nope, we've had too much success with this. Let him pass. But Jacksonville seems like a team that I would exclusively draft SEC players because the fan base would be familiar with them.
I'm fascinated that, and I just wanted to get that in here as an aside. All right, let's talk about the story of the team that looks clearly to be the best right now, the Denver Broncos. And we've talked about it, DJ. Rank and I are clear. Neither one of us, I think I'll speak for Rank, in saying, I have never said Peyton Manning is anything less than one of the all-time great talents. He is one of the great winners in NFL history. As long as we're talking about the months of September and December. Get past that, however, the record speaks for itself. It's a losing record, in fact, and so are the number of picks. Why is this year going to be different? What do you see about Peyton, and what do you see about this Broncos team? Are they just too – is it too much of a video game kind of thing in terms of the talent that they have around that they just can't help but win?
Well, somebody said this to me the other day. I thought it was a great point. Said, the only thing – the only thing keeping the Denver Broncos from a Super Bowl is a roof.
It's going to get
just
cold.
Just build a roof over that stadium. They wouldn't lose. I mean, there's people saying that. But look, to match up with this team now, with the addition of Wes Welker, I think you have to have a specific team. You have to have a team that's built in a certain way. You have to have three good corners that can cover. Because you got those three receivers.
Does anybody have that? First of all,
there's a couple teams. I'll tell you what they need, and you tell me what teams you think would fit.
Okay.
So you got to have three corners. So depth at the corner position. You have to have a safety.
Seattle.
You have to have a safety that can cover tight ends because they can beat you in the pass game with
Seattle,
a tight end.
Again, I would say.
And you have to be able to get after the quarterback without extra numbers. So you have to have a good pass rush. Who
Seattle.
Does that sound like?
You know who that is to me? I know you're going to, but this is.
There's two teams that come to mind.
The Houston Texans.
No.
Well, the Chiefs.
The Texans corners, I don't think, match up with them. I think Kareem Jackson would have a big target on his chest covering any of these three guys. The Chiefs is the other team. That to me,
ooh.
and somebody, I remember early in the year, I think the Chiefs won their first game or their second game, and somebody asked me, are the Chiefs for real? Can they win that division? I said,
We talked about it on Thursday night because we were watching the Chiefs beat the Eagles.
Yeah,
and so
maybe it was to say, Denver, I think, is just still better. The more I watch this Chiefs team and I see Tamba Ali and I see Justin Houston coming off the edge and I see Sean Smith playing really good at corner, Eric Berry kind of rounding back into form, mm-hmm. I'm saying, they have an interesting team to match up with them on the defensive side of the ball. Now, can their offense generate enough points to keep up? That'll be the question. But defensively, I don't see Peyton putting 40 points on the Chiefs the way they're built
if
right
I,
now.
What about when it becomes December, or even if these teams tussle in January, and everybody likes to make fun of Alex Smith not throwing the ball deep, but let's say they get into a cold weather game, and there's Alex Smith dumping the ball off to Jamal Charles, that defense pressuring Peyton Manning, I could see the Chiefs beating them.
Yeah, it's not, and they play, I'm looking at the schedule here, so they play, Denver plays, the last time they play Kansas City is what, December 1st, I believe?
In week 11, the Broncos play the Chiefs.
Okay.
In Denver. Week 12, they play, the Broncos play at New England, and week 13, Kansas City.
2 and 3 weeks.
2 and 3 weeks.
That's interesting.
Who impresses you of the teams that have a winning record right now? Who impresses you the least? Patriots, Chiefs, Seahawks.
I'm impressed with the Patriots, with kind of the ragtag group going out there and winning ball games. Let me see.
Can I tell you something? Something else I wanted to squeeze in while you think about this. 23, I guess what I didn't just say that the Ravens were going to lose. I said that they were going to lose to the Bills 23-20, and Robert Woods was going to have a touchdown in the game. What was the final score?
23-20.
Right. And who scored a touchdown in that game?
Bobby Woods.
That's right. Damashek does it again. Thank you. Go ahead. I just wanted to work that in. Just wanted to mention
it. Can you hold up? Can I get my notepad out real quick? What else do you have, Dave?
Anything? Don't worry about it. Yeah, I'll give you my scores later week five.
This is I'm really getting ready to make
I can
some,
guarantee you the Steelers are not going to win in week five because they don't have a game.
There's a sports almanac and a DeLorean joke in this segment somewhere, yes. But I haven't figured out how to do it, Rank. the team that I would say I'm still not buying, and I would have said this even without the Jake Locker injury. I know they're 3-1. Tennessee, I'm just long-term, throughout the course of the season, I'm skeptical.
Because why? Because of Locker?
Well, yeah. I mean, Jake played really well against the Jets, better than I thought he would in that situation. But I don't know. I just wasn't, not totally.
But because it falls on him.
And now Locker's
But that
out.
Defense is good, right?
No, the defense is good. And Verner's one of the better corners in the league. He's played really well.
And what about, so many weapons on that offense. Why is Chris Johnson not going well, though?
He doesn't, just don't see the same juice.
You think there's something wrong with
I think
it.
Their offensive line is playing really well.
Yeah.
I see room for him to run around. But, when you watch – here's a great example. Chris Johnson, compare him to what you see when you watch Reggie Bush get a little bit of a crease with the Detroit Lions. I mean, they look like they're nowhere near the same type of a guy. Reggie Bush explodes through there, and Chris Johnson's kind of easing and getting through there. I think that his juice is gone.
All right, let's talk about the NFC North then. Now you have the Packers. This is another – I mean, by the way, again, back to the point. AFC North, who is going to survive that to go maybe 9-7 and win that division? That might get it done. 10-6 probably, optimistically, is the best you're going to see out of a team in that division. NFC East is even worse. They have 4 total wins. They were 4 wins in 4 weeks out of 4 teams. That's not a good percentage. And now you go to the NFC North, which I think is still the best division, but the Packers in a little bit of trouble, at least out of the gate. Jay Cutler did not look he looked a lot like Jay Cutler of years past. The Vikings, of course, are now at just 1-3. Are the Lions for real? Are they going to get this division?
Well, does Black Tie have an answer to this? Because I believe it's been like 3,000 years since the Lions won at Green Bay. Do we know how long it's been since Detroit won at Green Bay?
We don't know for sure, but it's been over 20 years.
Yeah, it's like a long, long
time.
Is
that literally true?
That is true, yeah.
20 years since the Lions have won a game in Lambeau?
Unbelievably long.
Sometime during this podcast, I will come up with the exact number of years.
Thank you.
I'll count on it very soon, though.
So I'm saying if Detroit, and I'm kicking myself. Last year I bought on Detroit. I sold on them this year. I went there for training camp. They look great. Reggie Bush is a perfect fit in this offense. Sue and Fairley and Ansa, they got a really good front. I should have stuck with them. I didn't. My mistake. But if they can somehow exercise their demons, go to Lambeau Field and beat Green Bay, that's a statement to me that this division is going to go to Detroit.
Is it basically, I guess it's pretty simple math, that they operate like the Giants Super Bowl teams, which is that they get just such a mighty pass rush that it negates the subpar secondary?
Well, in the secondary, they're playing better at safety because you've finally got healthy with what's my guy there who's always – he's
Huff?
No. What is his name? It's going to drive me nuts now. They signed – bring over Glover Quinn from Houston. He's been an upgrade for him. And then I'm going to find his name here. Delmas. Louis Delmas. Oh, yeah. He will knock your block off, and now he's making more plays on the ball. He's been injured throughout his career. As long as he stays healthy with Glover Quinn, they're much better at the safety position. And that helps them. That position is huge in this defense because they run a lot of the wide nine stuff that everybody like to kill the Eagles for running. The wide nine's the reason why they're not winning. It's the scheme. Well, that's the same scheme that Tennessee was winning with forever under Jeff Fisher. It's the same scheme that Jim Schwartz took here. One of the keys to it, though, you have to have safeties that can force the run because they got to fill that alley, the gap where you have the wide ends. They got to be able to play the run, and they got to be able to have range off the back hash. So that's a specific type of a safety you have to have. So the health of those two safeties will be key. But with the pass rush they have, those two safeties playing well, and Matt Stafford not taking sacks, not turning the ball over as much. They got a running game. I mean, this is stuff they haven't had to go along with Calvin Johnson. I mean, this is a pretty scary
team. And you like Reggie Bush quite a bit.
Oh, he looks awesome. I mean, that's the highest grade I've ever given a college player. And I missed on him because I thought he was just going to change the way the game was played. I was in love with him coming out of USC. And I've got some buddies on that staff in Detroit that know.
Where were you when they were drafting? He wasn't anywhere.
We weren't in the mix. But
you,
I can tell you, the night before the draft, a bunch of us went out to dinner. Our scouts went out to dinner. And we came back to the facility, and we were just – I mean, we were playing cards. We were just kind of killing time. And it came across that Houston was going to take Mario Williams, and we all just were like, you got to be. They're really going to pass on Reggie Bush. I mean, we could not believe that they were going to pass on Reggie Bush. And for a long time, obviously, it's looked like Charlie Cashley made the right move getting Mario Williams. But now seeing Reggie Bush in this role in this offense is kind of what I envisioned seeing him in college, just how dynamic he is and how he can do so many different things. I just think they're using him perfectly. It's a great fit.
Go ahead.
No, please.
Well, I was just going to say about along the lines of the trades that I like to float out there. Why wouldn't you, if you're the Lions? Now they don't have Nate Burleson. They already were deficient once you get past Calvin Johnson in terms of pass catchers. Why wouldn't they go out and say, listen, we have Mekhi Lashore, who's a nice back, who has some upside. He hasn't panned out here for us. Or for that matter, even Joik Bell, if people like him better right now. Either way, you have depth at that position. People would probably like a banger, either one of those guys. Why not go to a team like the Giants? They're going to lose Hakeem Nicks. They're not going to keep him. They just paid Victor Cruz all that loot. They're not going to keep Hakeem Nicks. It's a lost season for the Giants. Why don't they go and say, we'll give you one of those two guys, you give us Hakeem Nicks, done and done.
Well, I mean, Hakeem Nicks would probably fetch, even in the last year of his deal, more than either of those two guys. But the Lions, with the way Joik Bell has fit in and kind of been the perfect complement.
Fine, Lashore.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think there's much of a market for Mekhi Lashore.
All right, we'll give you our first-round draft pick, too,
guys. That would be, you know, if you're talking about a draft pick for a receiver to come in there and compliment Calvin Johnson, that would be something worth, you know, exploring. I don't know.
That'd be better than what the Broncos have, right? If you said, we got Calvin Johnson and Hakeem Nicks, we're better than you now. And same thing goes for if you could get Nicks out to San Francisco. Imagine if you're the Niners. Why wouldn't you just go all in right now? It's obviously that defense is showing it's got a few chinks now. Don't you go? Just say let's go for it right here and now. Let's win this thing. And if we could get him and Michael Crabtree comes back with Vernon Davis and Anquan Boldin, we're better offensively than the Broncos.
The only hard thing is you know, it's not like basketball where you come in and we run three sets that every team in the league runs. It's a little more complicated to come in and fit into a system and get the chemistry with your quarterback down. I mean, I think that's
I don't buy it. How can guys walk in off the street and play the next Carson Palmer played immediately.
But to play at the same level, like to ask Hakeem Nicks to come in that short amount of time and have the same chemistry and effectiveness that he's had with Eli Manning after playing with him for that many years, you're going to get a good player. I just don't think you're going to get the same level coming across. It's going to take a while to get up to that point.
These football players always try to play. I do this on Madden all the time.
This isn't baseball where you just go up there at the plate and take your hacks. There's a system in place. Listen, there are just too many examples of rookies who never went to training camp and then showing up and, they're in the lineup immediately.
But the rookies, you're going through an entire offseason. You're getting there in late April and you show up and play a game in September. I mean, that's a long time. That's not getting picked up on a Tuesday and be expected to go 8 for 105 on a Sunday.
What do you guys do when I say you guys.
You're not buying it either, Dave.
It's fine. I just listen. It would be fun. I can fix a lot of teams if I'm allowed to make trades. If any teams want to hire me, it takes two to tango, and I need some GMs out there to pick up the phone, and I'll make their team better, and I'll make my team better.
When he's the GM of a team, should be brought in to make trades.
What can we do about that? Can Rank and I both get a position in the office?
Well, let's just say my hypothetical general manager job that I get here, which is about all it's going to be, is a hypothetical. But in this situation,
I don't know if it's 3 years or 12 years away. Listen,
what about this?
Do you talk about nepotism? John Gruden isn't even a coach anymore, and his brother's an offensive coordinator. Everybody's falling all over themselves to get John Gruden. They completely forget he was a 500 coach, but people are dying to have him. Ask USC what they would do to get John Gruden. Ask all these teams that are struggling in the NFL right now what they would give to get John Gruden. If you're on TV in the 21st century, that's what gets it done. Plus, you have experience. Plus, you're a handsome devil. I can write some words for you to make you seem more charismatic than you are. And then you're in business. You understand?
Here's the question. If I had two jobs in this situation, and one of them was to be the PR director of the team, and the other one was to be the assistant general manager, and I just called. I said, look, Dave, Rank, I got these two positions. I want you both. Who does what job?
I don't want to do the PR stuff. That's not for me.
Yeah, I'll do PR.
You'll do that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Is that right? You'll step up for that?
I got to be
in the war room. Rank can come in and hang out as a
Rank, but Rank's going to have to try and explain all the crazy moves that you're recommending. That's the problem. You up for that?
I'm used to it, yes.
Okay.
That's so be it. You know what? I think our fan base is really going to love it when we're in charge of the LA Rams.
There you go.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, LA our first Rams. Order of business is going to be, I'm sorry, can Brian you, Schottenheimer, you're out.
Can you double as my promotions guy and come up with something better than two free beers that the Jacksonville Jaguars are doing?
Well, that's Rank's wheelhouse. See, you don't call him a PR guy. Call him the promo guy. He loves his pro
he's the hype
wrestling.
Man? The hype man?
Yeah, he's our hype guy. That's all. Okay. He's like Bobby the Brain. You know, that's what he's.
I like Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette with the tennis racket would be a better look.
As long as I'm on the field for the LA Rams first game, so I can cut a promo on Georgia Frontieri and the city of St. Louis and kind of put that whole thing to rest. We'll probably ruffle a few feathers. Marshall Faulk and Kurt Warner would never speak to us again, and anybody who played in that St. Louis era. But trust me, it would be worth it. LA would be on our side.
Did you ever tell, when you were a scout with the Ravens, did you ever tell the man in charge of the draft, you're wrong, this is a bad call, let the record show, you're making a bad decision here?
Not after the decision. Once the decision was made, and Ozzie was great about this, we had so much debate before the process. But once you know, our last meeting was done and the board was set, you know, once you debate a player as hard as you want and you can fight for or against a guy, but once his magnet gets placed up on that board, that's it. We didn't go there. And then once we selected a player, it was very clear. Every organization I've worked with, once you selected a player, it was no longer your player if you liked him or this guy's player if he liked him. It sounds corny, but it really was. There will be notice. This is our guy. We drafted him. He's ours. Now we're all root. I don't want to ever root against a guy, even though I might not have given him as high a grade as
the Ravens have too many likable guys in the organization. I've said that before. I lament that as a Steelers fan. I'd like them to be loathsome people. But is it weird? Was it weird as a Ravens fan? And then we're going to kick you out the door to go do your fancy TV stuff. But
Do I get a towel on the way out the door?
You're fine.
Just wipe down a little bit here.
Goodness,
I mean, what is
gracious.
The temp? What do we got? What temperature is it? It's not 71.
It's
not
nice
true.
And cool in
it's
here.
It's fine.
Are you nervous?
Well, he's been doing yoga. He's not hot. Are you kidding me? He's lost 300 pounds.
Are you nervous or something about that?
Well, a little. Maybe a little.
No. Was it frustrating in hindsight as being with the Ravens to say, man, we're the best at personnel except when it comes to QB? Because teams like the Philadelphia Flyers who perennially can – they have all the talent in the world, but they can never get a goalie. Mm-hmm. You know, there are teams like that. There are certain positions on certain teams in sports that just never get solved. And for a while there, even when they win the Super Bowl, it's with Trent Dilfer. So was it like, man, what's our thing? Are we jinxed at QB?
Well, we had – you know, it wasn't just quarterback. When I was there, we went to the playoffs a couple times and we were out early. So, you know, I was there before Joe Flacco arrived and they went on their run. I was kind of in between the two Super Bowl runs, my 4 years there. But we had struggled with a couple positions. Quarterback, obviously, Bowler didn't work out. They picked him right before I got there. And then we took a bunch of receivers for a long period of time. It didn't work out. Travis Taylor was just okay. We took Demetrius Williams out of my area at Oregon in the third round, and he just kind of fizzled out. Mm-hmm. We took Darling, I believe, and the DeVard Darling in the second round. So we had – every organization has the one or two positions where they struggle to hit on guys. And, you know, go back to your Steelers here, Dave. I'm going to flip one from the Ravens to the Steelers. Offensive tackle. You know, I look at the failings they've had at drafting the offensive tackle position. I think that's a big part of why the Steelers have been struggling. That one specific position, Adams is playing horrible.
I think that's an interesting business thing. I'm sorry, I don't want to hold you up, but just give me a quick some quick thoughts on this. Clearly, from a talent standpoint, they have swung and missed, and as we've talked about, if you're not going to play the free agent game at all, and mm-hmm. the Steelers and Giants don't, if you're not going to do it, that's fine, and everybody associates that with stability, and that's how an organization will be perennially in the mix, but obviously now two down seasons going on in 2013. Kevin Colbert, people can talk about Todd Haley all they want, and I even can kind of buy the Dick LeBeau, his defense has been solved. As long as you spread them out and you have the right kind of QB, you can spread that Steelers defense out. And it is troubling, and I almost feel like maybe they should consider a 4-3 or changing massively their defensive philosophy. All that said, it's Kevin Colbert that is the fault here. Nobody else, to me. To have, I think it's something like 8 guys over the last 5 years or 10 guys still on the roster, that's just bad. And then you're compelled, if you use high picks, to then insert them in the lineup whether they deserve it or not, true or false.
No, I mean, look, they have not drafted very well over the last 5 or 6 years, and especially in those high picks. And that's why they are where they are. I mean, I don't think when you draft poorly, it doesn't necessarily show up in year one or year two. But when you've done it, you know, a couple years in a row, mm-hmm. once you get to that year four, year five, I mean, just – the eyeball test when you watch the Steelers, they don't look very physical. They don't look very fast. I mean, Adrian Peterson, I mean, nobody even gained
any ground. It was embarrassing.
This looked like a really slow team to me.
That one's understandable. Greg Jennings is not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Boy, William Gay had a rough game. Cortez Allen had a terrible game. And this is not a team of world beaters, like you point out. Minnesota Vikings.
I look at them and I say Marcus Gilbert in the second round, Mike Adams in the second round. Those guys have to play as tackles, and they have to be good football players. And right now they're not. And Ben's not getting protected, and Ben's playing about as bad as I've seen him play.
I feel like I don't mean to be a great defender. I just defend him blindly. I feel like he's playing pretty well. I know he's making some turnovers there. It is Romo-esque in mm-hmm. that thing of trying to do too much or whatever. He's holding the ball a little loose and all that kind of jazz. But he looks like he's spinning it to me.
But he's missing some. Those little crossers, I mean, he was automatic on all that stuff. And now he's getting hit all the time, and he's just a little bit off. He's not playing horribly. I'm just saying in terms of the standard he set for himself, I don't think he's anywhere near that
right now. Last question, and then you go. Is he not done, but is he close to done?
No, he's got plenty left. Phillip Rivers. That's all you need to say.
Phillip Rivers. Well, listen, they're the same age.
Same class. I'm just saying Phillip Rivers was written off, and you have to say, well, they didn't protect him, and the scheme, you know, at the end there was not a good fit for where he was as a quarterback.
Yeah, but the difference is that he's taken a physical beating.
Yeah.
Like people like to make jokes, myself included, about his John Wayne-ing it and letting mm-hmm. everybody in town know. I probably can't go, but I guess I'll try, you know. For the team, I'll be a hero and I'll give it a shot. But, I mean, he, in fact, has to. I mean, put his head through a windshield along with all the football stuff. He ain't going to be Peyton Manning. He's not going to be 38 still playing, is he?
No, look, he's taking a lot of shots. But Phillip Rivers took a lot of shots the last few years behind a crappy offensive line. We saw him get protected when he's playing as well as he's played in a long time. I still think with Ben, if they can just give him some help, and that is schematically and up mm-hmm. front with their blocking, maybe even complement him with a running game would be nice. Some hope there with Le'Veon Bell last week. I think those pieces get in place. I still think Ben can play at a really high level.
Oh, what a thing. It wasn't just the Le'Veon Bell debut. It was also the Marcus Wheaton debut, inexplicably delayed by 3 weeks. I have no idea why they were not using him on that abysmal team. But all right.
Five.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to plug his column, Up, Five Down. You can find that on the College Football 24/7 on NFL.com. You talk a little bit about Lane Kiffin. If I can sneak this in, I keep seeing the list of names come out.
Oh, yeah.
The list of names come out, and you see some, you know, Jack Del Rio's obviously one of them. You had a great tweet about it over the weekend. You watch Boise State play this year. Do you think that reality is starting to set in for Chris Peterson, and he's like, oh, my gosh, if I don't take the next big-time available job, it's never going to happen, and he jumps at this chance?
Interesting. It's a great question, Rank, and I've asked a couple people that are pretty tied in up there at that program. I'm not an insider. This is just their opinion. And I said, would Chris Peterson, you think that this is the time to do it? And they said, knowing him, he would not want to leave after a Boise has a down year. Like, they might be 8-4 type team this year. And I said, just knowing who he is, he said, I could see him eventually leaving, but I would think he'd want to do it when they have one of their typical 11-2, you know, really successful seasons and feel like he left that place, you know, at the top. That's the kind of guy he is. That was opinion of somebody that knows him pretty well.
Ah.
What's your pick? Just take a wild guess. You too, Rank.
My
wild
pick
guess
of who the head coach of USC will be, I'll say it will be James Franklin, the Vanderbilt coach.
Wow. I didn't anticipate that one.
And everybody, I don't know. I've never even met him. But just from afar, if you can win at Vanderbilt in the SEC and win 9 games or whatever he won last year, the guy can coach. And if you can win at Vanderbilt, you sure as heck can win at USC.
What about Chip Kelly?
He has a show cause.
Yeah, he can't.
So I thought that's preposterous as well, but Gil Brandt floated that out, and Gil Brandt knows better than I did.
I thought about it too. But everybody who is anybody was saying no. They've got a show cause penalty that if he comes back within, what was it, 2 years?
It's 2 year, I believe. Yeah. And that's a huge – they're coming out of sanctions. They don't want to have to deal with – they're going to hire somebody that's got a clean slate.
I think that they will like. I think Pat Hayden will like. I think they'll like the idea of an alumnus coming in there and fight on and all that jazz and Cardinal and gold and let's get back to USC football and all that kind of stuff. I think Jack Del Rio makes a lot of sense.
But
the guy who would be good, guy who's an offensive wizard, is Kevin Sumlin. He's in the SEC, and I get it, and he's built this program, but it's a little smoke and mirrors in the sense that it's not like Johnny Manziel's the only good player that team has. But I think they're going to fall into the middle of the pack. They're not going to be although I don't know if Texas is down and you can recruit the Lone Star State, then you can stay in the mix, and that keeps you really – that gives you a competitive edge in the SEC when they're fighting over the Bama kids and the Georgia kids and the Florida kids. That's interesting. But anyway, Semling could go to USC and be a winner.
I've heard that too, but a lot of people think he's got NFL aspirations, so he'll just hang there until he gets an NFL opportunity. The one – was my sleeper candidate, Pep Hamilton, offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts.
Ooh.
Came from Stanford. He's got a great personality. He's a people person. He's done a great job, obviously, with Andrew Luck there. He's done a great job with Andrew Luck with the Colts right now. So somebody – I brought this up with somebody in the league, and he raised this question. I'll pose it to you guys on my way out the door. If you're Pep Hamilton, would you rather hang around – say they tell you you're going to be the coordinator for 2 more years there, and you'll be the head coach of said NFL team. Would you wait those 2 years for that opportunity, or would you leave right now to be the head coach at USC?
I'd rather be a college coach, so I would take the USC job.
I would never want to be a college coach over a pro coach because of the recruiting thing. That's got to be the worst 2 months, going, traveling all over the place. Hey, hi, coach, I'm here on behalf of the thing, and look at what we've done, and our young man, we will treat him like family. That whole, that must be the worst. I hate that. I'm not a people person, though.
I would love
that. You're in
that.
Charge of PR, though. That's your thing.
Yeah, I would love that.
That's why I'm back in the war room making decisions.
That's why I'd love to coach a team like UNLV or San Diego State, having to try to build one of those programs up. How about this for a sleeper
candidate?
That
seems miserable.
Greg Schiano. He might be unemployed soon.
Yeah, somebody brought that up. I just thought, coming off of a kind of a coach with a dour personality, I don't know that Greg Schiano would be the happy spark plug that
you're
looking for.
Yeah, he would be the worst. He would actually be so bad in LA.
He would actually be better off at San Diego State.
By the way, and then we'll wrap it up. You started out by saying, who wants Josh Freeman? No one's buying on that. I feel bad for that kid. Schiano hung him out to dry. Schiano picks from the moment they take Glennon, from the minute they take him, Schiano mishandled it. He should have said, listen, Freeman's still our guy, but you, as you know, injuries happen. We wanted depth there. We feel good about our defense. We wanted to, you can sell taking Glennon in the short term, but you're okay, Freeman. And from that point on, he just made it clear that Glennon was going to be his guy. And he already had some strife here with Freeman down there last year. But Freeman is only a couple of years removed from looking just terrific. And maybe this is a little bit much, but I always say about him, he's like Ben Roethlisberger. Yes, he's inaccurate, but he has a big arm. He's big. Even when you hit him, he doesn't go down. He can run the ball a little bit. There's some questions about his ability to really capture the NFL playbook. But you know what? Like I say, that's the same thing you would say about Ben Roethlisberger to this day. And he, the human being in you should relate to the idea of, like, yeah, a boss who doesn't like you, and you know he doesn't like you, and he likes the other guy better, and he's trying to promote the other guy, you would know you're doomed. Everybody doesn't just roll with that and be a good soldier about that. You get angry, and you get petulant, and that's the way Josh Freeman acted. I think there are a lot of teams out there that should go and get this guy. Somebody should be interested in him.
Somebody in this room has a Josh Freeman rookie card autograph. Yes. I'm not going to say who it is.
Yes. But his name rhymes with Dave Damashek.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, right. Literally, I guess it does. Sorry. All right. Get out of here, Jeremiah.
All right, guys. Always fun.
Well, it was fun, but we talked only football. And we didn't talk any TV theme songs.
Next time. Something to look forward to.
Okay, good.
See you
guys. We'll talk some TV theme songs next time. He's quite a wizard, Rank. We sat there the other night and went through them. His area of expertise, 80s TV theme songs.
He doesn't seem old enough.
No. No. That's his wheelhouse. That's what he was reared on.
What was he? Yeah, he was probably born.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
I feel he was born in 82.
82? He's not that young, for goodness sakes.
I was off by 5 years. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
77, so he's a little bit younger than you and me. But listen, we know our 70s theme songs. We'll play a game someday. But I also want to do college fight songs. Black Tie, what do you want to do right now? You want to wrap the show up?
We have to. I don't want to. You know, I never want to.
Because why? Why do we have to?
We have to. Scheduling, guys. Too much scheduling.
It was too much football.
It's time for the Sheck report. That's why I got to go do the Sheck report.
That's right.
It's going to be a good one.
So in a way, I'm getting the hi hat for the Sheck report.
That's not why we're leaving right now. Black Tie says we have to. It's because he's finished with listening to us for today.
Can you go, and then maybe I will bring somebody in? And
sure.
We can keep
if you have a guest, listen. You know I enjoy the periodic Adam Rank football gridiron podcast for kids,
yes,
call it.
Yes.
I say this to wrap up the show. Breaking Bad.
Yeah, let's
the season
talk about
finale.
That.
The series.
Too
finale.
Early. I've seen it, but it's still too
I
early.
Said, it,
that, well, I mean, the, I from this point on, if
no,
you,
no, no.
If you want
to not.
Make,
it's not. I don't think we're crossing a line now.
I swear.
You don't think we're crossing a line?
I swear to goodness. Let me tell you something. If you have enough time in your day to download this podcast and listen to it before you watch the finale of a show you suppose.
We can't control.
Amen.
We cannot control what other people do.
This is a Super Bowl level event.
You can listen to a podcast while you're driving, while you're working out.
You know what? It's a Super Bowl level event.
Yeah, but you're not.
It was the end. You can't listen. Can I just tell you something, though? I feel like, and in fact, I might make a late addition to the Sheck Report this week for exactly this. All the way, I get it. You and your friend Handsome Hank, who's not with us because he's still out in England. He was at the game, of course, the other day. Hey, guess what? Let me tell you both this real quick. Handsome Hank emailed me to say many people, he didn't know, his head was spinning. A lot of people came up to him and said, "Hey, Handsome Hank," and started talking to him, and he didn't know what to do.
We should do a live DDFP from London.
We really should. Yeah. It was his first brush with celebrity.
When's
so that
the next
was
game? Like week 8, I want to say. It's like October 27th.
I wonder if he'll go back out there for that one.
Jags and Niners.
I got news
for you. I hear the show is incredibly over in the UK. Like one of my friends.
Oh, popular over
popular,
there.
Popular, yeah. For the expression. One of my friends has a couple of buddies who came over from the UK just recently, and they went to the Seattle and San Francisco game, and one of the kids is flipping through his phone, and he starts laughing. And they're like, oh, what's going on? And he goes, oh, this guy I follow on Twitter is very funny. And it's like, yeah, who? And they're like, Adam Rank. He's with the NFL.
Oh, this is not a true story. Can we move on from this fictional tales?
So he goes, and so, yeah, so he's like, really? Like, he goes, and they thought they were putting him on and type thing. So my friend and I was with Rosie McGee and the guy's fiance, and we took a photo and sent it to him. The guys were freaking out, like, you know him, and she's with him. And so I, you know. And I went up and I was able to meet them because when they came back, they were still in town. And we went to their barbecue and everything. And they're like, yeah, they're saying how unpopular it is.
This isn't, being flooded by the paparazzi or anything like this. But it's also still ridiculous that we sit here and kibitz inanely and people listen to it. That experience is still odd to me. I went out with a chum of mine on Saturday afternoon to watch the LSU game, mm-hmm. and Georgia game. And in the hour and a half, I guess, that we were in there watching the second half in this joint in Hollywood, four people separately came up like, hey, you're Dave Damish. Oh, listen to the podcast all the time. Oh, big podcast guy. Hey, where's Handsome Hank? Is he out? Like, oh, what's Rank doing? Wait, Rank's not. I mean, that was really it. It was very strange. Very weird. But what's also weird is somebody who thinks that they control the universe enough that they can dictate, I'm not allowed to talk about Breaking Bad. It's over now. It's a different thing completely. Don't spoil.
I'm saying, Shaq, if we're about to get into it, just let
do
the
I not
know.
Get? Do I not?
I'm pretty sure everybody.
I buy spoiler alerts, but this is different. The series is over now. The expectation that you're never going to find out, here it comes, everybody, here's your spoiler alert, Walt White is dead. That's right. I said it, Black. I don't care.
I really hope that
I don't care if people know. If they didn't find out, do you think it's possible that is there any way?
I'm going to put it in a post. I'm just going to put like a post edit. Like,
oh, fun. Come on. I know.
If you haven't watched Breaking Bad at this point.
I'm on episode 6, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to find out. I'm going to watch the finale.
There's no way. Do you think how many people do you think that consider themselves Breaking Bad, people who have even a passing interest in Breaking Bad, do you think don't know that Walter White died on Sunday night?
If I hadn't watched
Did you know that, Rank?
Yeah,
I wouldn't
course.
Know. There's if no- I hadn't watched it last night, I wouldn't know.
Yes, you would.
I would not know.
You would have heard it somewhere.
Oh, nope.
Yeah.
I would have.
You
stayed.
Cannot. You cannot tune out the world. And
I would
just
have.
Way too
I've
much
done
information.
This before. I've done this before. I've done this when The Dark Knight came out.
There's
when,
never oh. The Dark Knight.
That is when, completely.
What was this, what's the equivalent of The Dark Knight to that?
No, when
the,
that's
when,
a movie.
If
when
Batman died
out.
At the end of a movie, if at the end of the trilogy.
Point is, I've stayed away from.
This
from,
is different.
From social
this
media and
different.
Everything else, if I haven't seen something that I want to see.
This
I've
is different,
done that.
I've, the only equivalent to this is who shot JR. That would be like 2 days later not knowing who shot JR.
Real
I don't,
quick.
I don't, think it, I don't think it's that. See, because when the one when Homeland had their season 2 finale, I did not miss it. And I knew because I knew the spoilers were coming up. When The Shield ended, and I remember this is back when I was working super early on Wednesday mornings.
Don't spoil it.
I did not go to bed that night.
What's sad is that I kind of mean it, and as it's coming out of my mouth, I realize, oh, that would be hypocritical.
Yeah
so
because,
what?
Because I'm only on episode 6.
You
got
to be good at staying away from spoilers. I've been spoiler-free since 93. I know how to do it. It's what I do. Real quick, about regions, though. We United States, obviously, most downloads. United Kingdom, second.
Well, I would hope that the U.S. has more downloads
Canada
than anywhere
is third.
Else. Oh.
Guess who's fourth?
Denmark.
Your homeland, right?
Which would be Nigeria, no. Any more guesses?
Australia?
Australia's number 4. Guess
yeah,
who's number 5?
Yeah, I should have thought that.
Liechtenstein.
China.
Italy.
Ireland. That's number 5.
Ireland,
all
yep. right.
And Denmark comes in next, and Germany and Sweden.
Where's your homeland?
My homeland is...
We were getting some decent numbers out of your homeland last we checked about 6,
Let's
10
months
ago.
Let's find out how many people in Nigeria have listened to this episode. It's a meager 334.
Well, that ain't bad.
Yeah,
they're all,
bad.
Been,
it's,
they're
it's,
all out
it's,
driving
it's
around
more
with their
than
chauffeurs.
Dominican Republic in Uruguay.
So there's that. Congratulations, yeah. Nigerians. All right, listen. Well, enough's enough.
Yeah.
Do we have anybody lined up for our second show this week?
Not yet. Working on it.
We will do the Red Challenge flag segment, though.
Hopefully video as well.
By the way, the poll of the best TV drama of all time, remiss The Shield wasn't added.
Well, no. I did make it clear. It's best TV drama of all time. That's at NFL.com/Shaq. But it was I did give the caveat that I watched.
Oh, okay.
That's the way it is.
No. It wasn't that you
watched. It says Shaq on it. I said that. No, I did say it. I audibly said that was the case.
No, okay.
I can't. What am I going to do? I can list The Wire? That would be pretentious. I haven't seen the show. How can I
possibly
say? I'm appalled
at how low The Wire is. But, you know, it's...
What one? Wire, let's pay the poll off here. Let's pay the poll off. Our poll
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad did
at 40%.
Okay. Because it just happened.
Exactly. That's just...
When you're 10 years, as of now, 10 years from now... Let me tell you something.
Go ahead. You tell. You tell me something.
I will be interested when I finally finish this series, and I don't care if I know. I figured Walt was. There's no other way.
Of course, he has terminal cancer. That's how the first episode starts. You know he's going to die. It's just a matter of how he's going to die.
Right, and it's It's different from other shows like The Sopranos, where it's possible that Tony lives for a very long time, and maybe he did. Maybe he didn't.
Don't ruin that for sure.
But. But I really just based this is based on six episodes. It's very good, but the way everybody was carrying on,
you cannot six up. I told you this, Rank. Six episodes in, you cannot make a judgment.
I don't like the whole notion of if you don't like it, like the people who are like, you know what, give it eight seasons.
Eventually you'll come around. I understand what you're saying.
How about capturing my attention in the first year?
I'm not saying it's a slow burn. I'm saying, do you like it so far? Do you find it good so far?
It's good.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it when you get about, I mean, I think by the end of the first season, but the first season to me is certainly the worst. It's more focused on his illness. Once they really get going, when he starts really dealing and everything, you'll see. It's just exciting. It's like a 60-hour long action thriller movie. It's great. You'll see. It's real. It's going to kick into high gear.
Do you enjoy it more? And this conversation was having earlier. Do you enjoy it more than Game of Thrones? When you're watching it,
Well, for me, I'll tell you, I love Mad Men. I would say, and we haven't seen how Mad Men wraps up, so it's a little hard. It really is hard to hold. Because I didn't. Can I tell you, I like the way The Sopranos.
Don Draper
ended.
Dies.
That would be weird, unnecessary. Unless it's from booze poisoning. I don't know what's going to kill him. But
he goes out like Peter Lawford.
I'm thinking. The Sopranos, I liked the last episode. Most people hated it.
It was genius.
I was fine with it. Because to me, the way I read it was, and now there since people will say, like David Chase, it was clear that what you're supposed to feel is that he's dead. Did he get shot? And that's where he blacks out, is that he got shot, and that's where the music kicks in. To me, I always took it that last scene, if you'll remember in The Sopranos, and where better to review the last scene of The Sopranos than after Breaking Bad's final episode? Doesn't make any sense. But anyway, I say this. I feel like what he was going for, David Chase, was when, if you'll remember, when Tony Soprano walks into that diner where his family is or where he's meeting the family, when he walks in, from the moment he walks through the door, it suddenly goes to his point of view. You remember that? The camera suddenly is what he is seeing. And there's a lot of cutaways. There are a lot more cutaways to what he's seeing specifically. Looking at the door as his kids walk in and the conversation and scouting around the room and seeing the guy sitting at the on the stool and watching guys walk by. And is that guy? And I think that was to indicate Tony doesn't have to die. It's not that the finality of being a mob boss is that you get murdered eventually. The hell is that this is his life for the rest of his life. As long as he's around, there's never a moment's peace. You have stolen moments. Oh, it's nice, my boy. I like my boy. Oh, there's my girl. Oh, I'm eating French fries with my wife and everything. But those are stolen moments. The perpetual reality is somebody's going to shoot me, and I have to be aware of where everybody is, and there's never a relaxed moment for the rest of my life. I feel that was what The Sopranos was supposed to be. But either way, fine. We don't know how Mad Men's going to go, and if it fizzles out. I mean, Lost is the worst. Lost, to me, makes me angry. Lost, I can't believe I wasted 5 or 6 years of my life for that hokum. I can't believe. At some point, like you're talking about, Rank, I got into it. People said, oh, you got to watch. So I got caught up. And I just kept thinking all along, if this ends up being purgatory, I'm going to be bad. I'm going to be angry because they denied that it was that. And then it ends up being that. Outrageous. Now, if Mad Men ends terribly, then I will drop it. But as of right now, by a whisker, I give it to Draper and Company. I just love the language. It's so small. Every episode is so small, and it's fascinating, these mundane lives and how enraptured I am by each of them. Now, Breaking Bad is just, like I say, action movie. Popcorn, good fun, kill guys or get killed, and how's he going to get out of this? It's that kind of vibe. I love that. Game of Thrones, I don't understand half the time.
which is interesting, because I've actually seen all the seasons twice. I've watched it back twice, and they do a great job of setting up everything that's about to happen.
But we don't know yet. The books aren't written yet. That's my concern with Game of Thrones, is that the guy who writes them, George R.R. Martin,
is still writing, yeah.
Hasn't even written them yet. So he doesn't know, then how can I have any confidence it's going to end well?
But the point there is that in Breaking Bad, one of the slight issues I have with it is they cut some corners sometimes. It sometimes gets a little bit cliche. Sometimes you just have to believe the hype. There's nothing that happens in Game of Thrones that is not set up. If a guy blinks an eye in a scene, there's a reason for that. You know, it's going to come full circle in some way, shape, or form. And that, to me, just shows how intricate the book and the backstory is. And that's why I enjoy it more than Breaking Bad.
It's interesting. Yeah, completely different thing than The Sopranos, which would constantly throw things out there. You know, the thing that we keep hearing the last 6 months or so. What Vince Gilligan did was like Chekhov. You know, if you see a gun in Act 1, you're going to see the gun again. It's going to get used in Act 3. The Sopranos was the opposite of that. There was the Russian in the snowy woods, and what's going to happen there? And that serves what my hypothesis is, that there were all these things just out there that could take down Tony Soprano. There's this Russian running loose in the wild. Is he alive? Is he dead? What happened? The Italian guy who worked, you know, was the hitman who had the thing with Carmella for a while. With the ponytail, what was his name?
Right. Oh, yeah.
He goes back to Italy. You're like, oh, he's going to come back, and he's going to kill Tony. No.
He just disappears, yeah.
I think that's that reality, and it's really deeply clever in its own way, that you never know where it's coming from. And I think that is fascinating. But I'm kind of with you. I like the because I couldn't do it. It's easier to – it would be harder to create an entire world and have it end perfectly the way Breaking Bad did. Breaking Bad wrapped everything up into a tidy bow. You know, I will say,
the show that does
if you expect me to believe the Nazis wouldn't look in the trunk of the car, I mean, come
there
on.
Are a lot of there's come a lot on. Of that that come goes on. On. A lot I mean, of I, that that goes on.
Of course,
on.
These meticulous Nazis who are killers themselves ain't looking in the trunk of the
there
car.
There's a ton come, of that come, that goes on bit. That you just have to be like, okay,
a little
whatever.
Bit. That's sure. a little bit far. Oh, and they don't say anything when he turns his car around. Like, hey, park right here. Park right here. Nope, I'm ignoring you. I'm just turning my car around. The Nazi doesn't go like, what the hell are you doing? You're not deaf.
Yeah, it's, that the was show. A little, that the was show a in shady. General is too smart of a show to take it to the levels that it does sometimes.
But most people didn't figure out what Walter was doing with his old partner and everything. That, you know, his old partner and the wife. Nobody saw that one coming.
That was interesting.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff he does that's clever. Walter White, that is. Yes, Rank.
But when Black Tie was talking about the Game of Thrones and making sure that everything pays off, the show that does that really well now, I don't know if you guys watch it, Sons of Anarchy.
Nah.
Where stuff like the little things that you're talking about, I don't know if you watch it, but the things that you're talking about, like, oh, I see how that happens. Or it's like, because the number one, episode number one of the current season starts with, and it's a big tie-in to something that goes back throughout the course of the season. And you're like, you know what? This is so well done. And I appreciate when series do
They're
that.
They're a gang?
They're a motorcycle club.
What are they, a gang? I didn't get into it because I thought, like, what do I care about the exploits of these guys riding around on their motorcycles? I already saw it in Stone Cold.
Their gun, it's almost ripped. It's almost, the first season's almost scene for scene.
They infiltrated by a cop who happens to have a flat, he's a toe-headed flat top guy with abnormally large muscles. That's always better. When Howie Long and Brian Bosworth both decided to try for a little while to be action heroes, at least that was more plausible. I still can't get over that no matter what position Arnold Schwarzenegger has in the movie, whether he's a cop or he's in the military or whatever, nobody ever says anything about him having a weird a Bavarian accent. Kind of weird. Like, how do you get to be this high up in the U.S. military? Right. When did you move to the States that you have that thick an accent?
At least in Red Heat, he was playing a Russian
cop.
That's
fine.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's weird that the robots in Terminator had, you know, that they decided to put that little Bavarian accent on the robot.
I thought it's because the Eastern Bloc countries developed the Terminators.
No, who said that? We developed the computers. Where have you been?
No.
Well, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, where are they from?
Bavaria?
Slap in the face to the U.S. of A. All right, I'm ending it here. I won't stand for that. All right, so we'll have another podcast for you later in the week. Be on the lookout for that. We'll do our picks for week 5. Chin up to all the 0-4 and 1-3 disappointments out there. We're only at the quarter poll, people. We still have a long way to go, and we'll talk about it for you. In the meantime, though, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.